welcome to a very special episode of Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams will join me in just a moment with our very, very special guest, Charlotte FC Sporting Director, General Manager, Zoran Crinetta. It's a great conversation with Zoran Crinetta, brought to you, of course, by our presenting sponsor, Hopfly Brewing Company. The Hopfly tailgate kicks off this Saturday ahead of Charlotte FC versus FC Cincinnati. The tailgate starts at 4 p.m. We'll have a live pregame show at 5 o'clock at Hopfly as well. And then we'll march down to the match. We'll head down to the match for the 7:30 kickoff between Charlotte FC and the MLS League leading FC Cincinnati. It's a chance for Charlotte to go 13 straight in all competitions unbeaten at home. It truly has turned into a fortress on Mint Street. It's an absolutely massive time for Charlotte FC as new signing Liel Abada's arrival in Charlotte is happening today as we speak on Thursday, March 28th. We'll talk to Zoran about that. We'll talk to the sporting director as well about hiring Dean Smith and how quickly Coach Smith has changed club culture. Jabril Diani is certainly a diamond in the rough. We'll talk to Zoran about signing the Frenchman. And Crinetta is now 4 years into this role as sporting director. A lot of criticism early from national media about this appointment and some bumps along the way. And Crinetta was very, very honest with us about some mistakes he's made and how he's grown into this role in MLS. And finally, we talk about moving on from Karol Swiderski, moving on from Kamil Yuzviak, what that was like for the sporting director and how that all happened at the very, very end of the January transfer window. Thanks so much to our partners at Hopfly for presenting this episode. And without any further ado, here's our interview with Zoran Crinetta. Danny, it's time to welcome our very special guest. We're here in person at Atrium Health Performance Park, the beautiful facility here out in East Charlotte. It's the general manager, sporting director, Zoran Crinetta. Zoran, welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show.
Thank you very much, guys. It's a great podcast that you guys have. We all following very closely. We like what you guys doing, so it's an honor for me to be here.
It's an honor to have you on the show. It's a pleasure to see you, especially here in person.
Right, and my first question is, what do you like about it? But no, we'll actually get into this. There are some pressing questions that are more of concern, and I'm just really excited because we're sitting here talking to you on a day where you've got to be buzzing with excitement. I can see it kind of glowing off you as you sip your coffee there, Z-Man. Like, the Abada is coming.
Yes, apparently he's arriving a little bit later. I think he should land early afternoon. And that's the Abada time starting.
It is. It's Abada time. That's right. Yeah. It's about time that Abada's here. And it's Thursday. It's the 28th. It's Thursday afternoon. And you've worked hard to get this deal done. And there's been a lot of, whether it's, I wouldn't call it issues, but as far as getting him here, he's playing for the Israeli national team. He just played in a Euro qualifier match. So he's finally here, right? So let's just talk about the timeline. If he's getting in town on Thursday, he's got a chance to meet the staff, meet the players, maybe get out to training on Friday.
I think he's expected to train tomorrow.
Great. And so fans should expect to see him on Saturday at the Fortress.
That's the Dean Smith call, but he will be available for selection. I don't know. It's too early to say. We need to see how it's a tiring trip that he's done from Tel Aviv via London, by Munich, I think, and Charlotte. So it's
makes sense. I was on FlightAware last night trying to figure out where he was flying in from. Yeah. Whether it be London, I figured.
I'm going to put you down for optimistic on that one. Okay.
And by the way, I don't even mean getting onto the pitch. I just mean seeing him in the flesh, right?
Yeah. He's going to be in the building 100%. But I think he has outside chance to kind of. Obviously, after training on Friday, the coach will assess his fitness level, his physical state, you know, jet lag and everything, and see if he can potentially be on a bench.
Makes sense. And it's one of those signings, right, where it's an unusual circumstance, right? It's the time of the year where you typically don't get a young DP signed into a club. So can you
take us back to the moment that you realized that this signing was possible? And
maybe it's a good idea to explain to the fans in general the transfer window in Europe and here. While we have a transfer window here that is called primary window, obviously, and it starts in February and it finishes in April.
Right.
Everything that happens in Europe and most of the world really happens in December, January. December preparation and then January execution. And then after that, after 1st of February, it's very difficult to get a player. Why? Because the clubs, good players. You can always get a player that nobody wants, but that's not the aim here. So the good players, obviously, the club will not keep them because, you know, as our fans know, in Europe there are relegation and promotion systems. So in every league, if you look at every league, there are fight for promotion from relegation, the fight for being a top four in a Champions League, the fight for being in Europe League, Conference League. So there's about seven, eight places, and usually 14 clubs, and there is three relegation places and usually 10 clubs. So that's basically the entire league. So every club is fighting for something. So the clubs don't want to let, after the 1st of February, they don't want to let their best players because they can't replace them. If it's a little bit different, if their window is longer, then it'll be different. But so this presents to Major League Soccer teams very difficult obstacle to bring the really good players after the end of January window. So we have a case of LAFC who are doing DPs in summer. Why? Not because they don't want to bring the DPs now. Of course they won't. But they can't. They can't. It's very difficult, almost impossible. Unless you bring in the player who you seriously overpaying, paying a huge premium, and a few clubs done it. But paying a huge premium is not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is when you're paying a huge premium, you're disrupting the dressing room, the changing room. Because if suddenly you have 11 players that you paid for one 10 million and for one 25 million and then everyone else is a 7, 8, 3 or whatever, then suddenly that one of 25 million is having a huge burden on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. He needs to prove that he is the 25 million and suddenly we might actually destroy the player or he burns out. Everything. So these are all issues that we have to take into consideration before we jump. We were trying to go for quite a few players. Abada is someone on our radar for 18 months now. We tried a year ago. We said it was a flat no. We know the interest from other clubs. We know the clubs who were interested in Abada. We know the offers that he got. And due to these difficult circumstances, the issues, the problems, the war between Israel and Palestine and Gaza situation, we managed to kind of get the deal through. I have a very good relationship with Celtic. I know the guys for 20 years. I've worked with them extensively in the past. So that also a little bit probably helped. But it was a deal that at the beginning looked like impossible. And the more weeks passed, we thought, okay, we have something here. We can try to push it. And credit to Liel, he said straight away he wants to come, and he wants to come to Charlotte.
You could tell how excited he was. He was posting on Instagram on Wednesday evening, as his flight was taking off. He had that iconic shot now of the stadium on opening night. He seems excited to be here. You can tell.
I know he's agent for some time, and he knows Charlotte. He's been before. He's also agent of Christian Kalina. So that helped. Helped. That kind of links that Kalina would tell Liel and the agent. Agent's been here probably two times before. Mm-hmm. So he knows the Charlotte. He knows how beautiful city is. The people are friendly. Amazing stadium. Atmosphere, fans. Best fans in the league.
And
so
if you follow Christian Kalina on social, you know he lives it up in Charlotte. He gets around and sees like everything there is to see around town for sure. So he's a great advocate.
So it's a great advocate. Yeah. So so everything kind of, all the stars kind of got kind of in the right place for us to kind of pull this deal. Celtic are notoriously difficult negotiators. Very difficult for them to kind of sell us a player for
them. Did they play hardball? Did you have to get after a little bit with them?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I played hardball, but they still invited me last 2 weeks ago on the Celtic Bowl that they organized charity non-profit event in New York. So I was there and I saw them all and I made a few jokes. I met Brendan Rodgers as well, and he was incredibly complimentary about Liel and he said, "You guys got an amazing player," and I'm very, very sad to let him go, but we kind of, I mean, didn't have a choice.
I want to get into to hiring Dean Smith, obviously, and they're a diamond in the rough, Diani as well, who's played fantastic after two matches. I want to get into that, but just to piggyback off what you're saying there as far as playing hardball, you were an agent for many years before signing on here at Charlotte FC. You know how to swim in those waters, right? When you talk about playing hardball, how does that put you in a unique position to where when you go to a negotiation table, you say, I've been here before on the other side, and I know how to get this deal
done? I think that puts me better in better positions when I'm negotiating with the agents, because they I know the tricks, and I know the stories, and I know how the language they use.
You've told the stories.
And I can yeah, exactly. And I can see when the agent putting the story in the press about the player, and where I can see when the journalists are putting the real story. So, so that of course it helps. Of course it helps. If it helps, if the network contacts that I developed over the 20 years being an agent is valuable as well too. You know the people, you know the right decision makers. You know how to approach them, how to kind of let go sometimes, wait, be patient. So that all helps, of course.
I want to ask one thing on Ibata is we hope he's going to be in the building, obviously, on Saturday. Everything will all work out. Fitness, maybe he makes a sub appearance. Who knows? I think a roar would go through our pregame party at Hotfly if the lineup came out and saw him on the bench for sure an hour before kickoff. But I want to know, beyond that, this is a massive signing for us. Is there going to be some type of introductory event once he is established and sort of like feels ready? Are we going to have sort of a meet the fans event at the stadium? Anything you can tell us about that?
I think we're planning something for next week. Yeah. So I've seen some details. I wouldn't like to share yet.
Gotcha.
But we'll share it very soon with the fans. But I think we're planning early next week.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the club's been amazing with that, right?
Yeah.
Going all the way back to Karol Szaborski, the first DP signing, right? I remember I was there that night in the stadium, and it was just a great opportunity. And I think the connection that the club has been able to make with the fans is
But I think this phenomenal. Is what we have with the fans here, the players, the club, the unique relationships. I think it's pretty incredible, and I would say the best in the league, you know? And I'm seeing other GMs, and we're talking very often, and I think everyone is very complimentary, impressed or jealous or jealous really when it comes to our fans and the numbers and the chants and the support and Dean already is calling Fortress Bank of America, so he's talking to the players before the Columbus game. He said, look, everyone is talking about them as the best team in the league, so let's go and beat them, because this is our fortress. Nobody can come here and beat us.
You are great at this. You're great at being a sporting director, of course. You're cooking lately, but also you're great at being a host too, because you took my transition as far as Dean Smith and club culture is concerned, right? Yeah. That's my next question. How has he impacted club culture here?
It's I think when you look at any organization, it always comes from the very, very top. And who is more top than a coach? Because he spends the time with the players. I mean, you obviously GM spends time, the president spends time, but the real connector is always the coach. You know, this is why some clubs had a incredible success with likes of Klopp or Pep Guardiola or Ancelotti, because they are the people that can actually connect all the players together, but also connect with the fans, with the community, with the decision makers in the club, front office. So it's what Dean's done in such a short period of time is short of unbelievable. Honestly, he's phenomenal. You know, it's.
I'm always thinking about the stories like right when he was first hired, that he just walks through the building randomly and just like walks up to people's desks and says, "Hi, I'm Dean. You know, what are you doing?"
He does. Except like that. This morning he scared me. Seriously, because I went like half past seven in the morning to his office to say something, hello and something, and then suddenly big dog jumps on me.
Oh wow!
So he took his son dog for a couple of days, and I didn't know, and he was very quiet until I opened the door, and you can only hear then the next door to his office is a meeting room of the coaches, and then you can hear the laugh, all of them laughing because they probably predicted that I'm going to come.
No doubt.
So that was fun. That was fun.
Dog friendly office here.
Yeah, very dog friendly office.
Right. And just seeing you glow telling that story tells the story of the culture change. And just like there's a positivity, there's the togetherness is the word Dean used. And you mentioned all the different levels and areas and factions potentially that, you know, are actually now brought together and things like that. How is it? We've talked a little bit about, you know, the process of hiring Dean, but just like, when did you know? When did you like first, like, the search is going on. You're like, all right, we just met Dean. This is our guy.
So okay, so the first time I started really knowing Dean a little bit better, I was 18, 20, 24 months ago when we played at Red Bull in New York. Mm-hmm. At home, 2-0 we won the first game of Cristiano Tanzio in charge. And Dean visited visited Charlotte, his son, and he was Aston Villa coach. And we had Dean Smith and the whole family. So I took them out after the game. I took them for dinner. It was an early afternoon game. And then I really enjoyed the person, number one. He was a humble, the whole family, very humble, very nice, very polite, very kind of cultural. It's a really lovely family to spend evening or afternoon talking, chatting, having a few glasses of wine. So that actually, yeah, I mean, depends. So we didn't have more to view that particular night. But so that really impressed me. I mean, and he was doing really well with Aston Villa and stuff. So I thought, oof, this is the kind of guy that I would like one day to kind of be able to get. But obviously, to bring a coach from Aston Villa into Charlotte, I think these times are coming, but it's not yet. It wasn't at that time, obviously. And then obviously the Dean was suddenly available, and I remember that when the first teaser, when I sent the first kind of message and stuff, he was like, I don't know, I never thought about that. And then we were already heavily kind of looking at potential replacements, and then basically he was fantastic throughout the whole interview. We had the 3-4 interview stages. He was phenomenal, and to be honest, all the candidates were very good, but Dean stood out for us, and we thought, okay, this is the guy who takes us to the next level, really, because we thought, okay, considering how the last season was, we done okayish. I was personally not happy. I thought we had a team that could do better and it could do more. And I think there was a season of lost chances or missed chances, really. Right. And then obviously when everything happened, the most important thing also for me was that the desire by Dean, once coming here, once meeting all of us, obviously he knew me before, but he didn't know the owner, once meeting ownership at Dave and Nicole, then meeting Joe, then meeting everyone else, front office, the assistant coaches. He basically said, I really like this setup. I really like this group. I love the training camp. I love the stadium already been. I like this. I wanna go into this adventure with you guys.
So what you're telling, this is like a lot of great relationships. You start as friends first, you know. You realize you got some things in common. Hey, maybe we'll start dating a little bit, and then you make the commitment. I love it.
I wouldn't say that we were friends, Dean and I, but we met, and that helped because if you look at them,
it's an analogy.
You know, if you look at the first hire that we had in a club history, it was a Zoom hire,
right?
Because we couldn't travel, we couldn't meet anybody. It was unfortunate because it's much better when you know person inside out and spend some time, or actually a couple of glasses of wine or bottles of beers. You know, so it's a. It helps. So that human touch and contact is important.
It also helps in a business like ours, right? It's so difficult sometimes to do an interview over Zoom and gauge the room. Course, and for you to be sitting here with us in person, we really appreciate you doing that. Absolutely. And I think something that Dean said is that when he started this job, he said he wanted to prove people wrong. And I'm thinking back to you and your appointment here with Charlotte FC. It was New Year's Eve in 2019. Feels like 20 years ago at this point, but it's only just more than four. And there was a lot of criticism when you were thrown into this role, saying, oh, this guy, he doesn't have any MLS experience. He's coming from the world as far as agency in Europe. And when you think about the things we talked about, right, signing somebody from Celtic, bringing in a former Premier League manager, Jabril Diani is somebody that is playing in France and has made a massive impact in just two games for this club. Have you felt like you've proven people wrong over this 4 years, and have you settled into this role?
I think it's very, very difficult to build a club from zero, from scratch. I think it's challenging for whether you have MLS experience or don't, really. And I think I'd like to go back to some maybe comparison. Being foreign or being from outside of MLS, I don't think this is the most important thing, because if you go by that rule, Premier League wouldn't be Premier League, right? Because because if you look at Premier League, there are a huge number of foreign players, foreign executives, and foreign coaches, and this is what makes Premier League unique. As a matter of fact, one very good, probably one of the best executives in MLS, who has been in MLS for 20 years, he said to me once that if the guys like me and a lot of other Lutz and Ernst at Philly, Axel in at Vancouver, if he fail, this league kind of fails because this league needs to be bigger, needs to look wider, needs to have a different characters, different personalities, different experiences and skill sets to progress. And I'm just one small part of that, perhaps a different views and kind of, I mean, progression in a different way. So yes, I think yeah. I mean, I've done my share of mistakes, and I was very honest always and said, hands up, I made mistakes, and trying to rectify them and help that those mistakes to kind of turn into the advantages. Again, they're actually challenging times, but I think it's I'm growing, I'm learning more. The team around me is helping me. We have a fantastic team. We have a very good scouting team, probably in my opinion, the best in the league and the best the department for analytics that we created last year, and they're doing really important job for us. And then we have some good coaching team now as well, and obviously great business support by Joe and his team. Owners are supporting us big time. The Nicole and Dave are really behind us. So I think now it's all coming together. This is I know it's a year three, and our fans would love to be all this happening in year one, but it was challenging, and we also face outside challenges that we could not predict, like, as you know, what happened last year and all these issues that we had and challenges and tragedies. And so it's a clear progression, I believe. I think we always said that we're going to build this club to be a powerhouse of this league, not one yo-yo club where one year we are fifth and then next year we are 15th. So I think there's a clear kind of trending where we're going.
When you talk about being honest with your mistakes, you know, I'm not going to ask you to list them, but I want to know really what you've learned from him. I think, like, when I think it could be specific moves and players or coach hires or anything, it could also just be the way you speak about him. When you the Camille Real Salt Lake Holland comment, a lot of people bring up.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty silly comment by me. No disrespect to Salt Lake City or any other club or any other GM. That's not the guy I am. I really never comment. I have respect for all my colleagues and all the clubs in the league. That wasn't really the but I wanted to do a comparison, like, hey, this is the guy who started 3 games for Poland national team.
Right.
Just like 6 months ago. So is he good enough? Probably.
I mean,
he proved that he wasn't for what we wanted from him to do. Is he a good player? I still think he's a good player. He started last 2 games in La Liga. That's the issue. When you bring in the players, some players really perform straight away and everyone talks about them. And then some players simply can't. And actually, it doesn't mean that they're bad players. They just might not fit the system, the coach, the city, the environment, the league. You know, so it's so many things you need to look before you just bring the player. It's not all about how good he is. Maybe he's good at one club, but might not be good for my club.
So that's where as you look to the future, you're looking more for fit sometimes more than just individual skills.
This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing right now. We're literally now putting a big emphasis on a league. Yeah. And personally, would I like to have another 3 MLS experienced players? Would I like to have guys like Nagbe? Yes, of course I would. But they're impossible to get. Unless I go into a fight with the other club or the offer the incredible amount of money, in that case the club might consider the player might consider, but then that again we're disrupting then the changing room.
Yeah, we're definitely starting to see, I feel like, an era where more the domestic players, the MLS experienced players, they're wanting more money to move teams in the league.
But there are certain examples, I don't want to name names, that they're moving from club to club every year.
Yes.
Big domestic name players.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the reason? There's only one then, you know?
Right.
There's only one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I hear you talking about as far as cultural fit and some players coming in, and I can't help but to think about Enzo Capetti, right? It's somebody who's been at the club here. This is now his second season.
Yeah.
And he has had really nice moments, but he's also had moments where he's feeling down about himself, maybe not fitting into the system. Where is he at this moment, right? I mean, we could rehash his entire time here, but...
I felt that we were a little bit harsh on Enzo, personally, because he has done everything possible to assimilate very quickly. He learned English. He speaks English now. The meetings we have one-on-one, he speaks English. He speaks English with the teammates, makes the jokes in English, which is incredible, for 1 year or a little bit longer. So he tried... But he also came from different country, different system of play, different team, different everything in terms of how the referees sees the big clubs and big name players in maybe Argentina to here. So he has a certain way of playing that perhaps the referees in MLS were not particularly impressed. which he's changing now, and he changed. I think he started very brightly. I mean, yeah, I know he missed a few chances, but as long as the strikers get into chance, that's the most important thing. They will eventually start scoring, and once they start scoring, confidence goes up, and then they keep scoring.
He scored the first goal in the history of City Park in St. Louis.
Yeah,
he'll always have that.
True, he'll always have that. Exactly, and it was a great goal as well.
Great goal.
It was a great goal, and so I think Enzo has a lot to prove and has a lot to offer to us. I think. Dean likes him. We all like him. He works very hard, very hard. He was unfortunate a little bit this season. I think he could have been top of the strikers list. He had a penalty taken away from him in Vancouver. He had a penalty that he gave to his friend. So that's, and a couple of chances. And then obviously unfortunate injury, but I think he's now back and I think he'll be... He's training today and tomorrow, and he'll be in contention to play.
And as Patrick Ajimong steps up and opens his account, is right. I think having two strikers, one who is a designated player, one who ultimately would want to be that someday, there's probably some good competition between those two.
Absolutely.
Two guys.
This is the you never have enough strikers.
Yes.
So they say.
Yes. And so, it feels like Charlotte FC has two pretty good ones, right?
Very, very good ones. Yes, I agree. Patrick is a fantastic pro and he's proving himself, and I'm very happy for him. He scored a great goal. Great goal. He should have a little bit more last couple of games. The certain situations where he was unlucky. You know, the Nashville penalty was, as Dean would call it, stonewall penalty.
Oh yeah, that was stonewall. That was absolutely ridiculous. The referees are back this week.
Yeah, the mistakes happen. We can't be too harsh on refs, and you know, league tried everything. Credit to them to kind of solve this problem and get everything done, because it was an issue that they wanted to. Solved from the day one, but it wasn't that difficult. It wasn't easy. So the referees are back now. So hopefully we'll see less of these mistakes.
I have a feeling that the people who complained the loudest about the replacement referees will still have plenty to complain about with the regular referees coming back. No doubt.
That's typically how it
works. Yeah, exactly. But I want to ask a quick question. We're thank you so much for all this time. It's been great. I want to ask, what feels better, maybe to you, if you can say. Is it the negotiation of like working a hard sign on a big, big, high profile sign like you've done a few times? Or is it finding the hidden gems like John mentioned? You know, we've gone to the French academies now to get Diani and Milanda. And it's just like there's different ways to build a club. What fires you up the most? Is it the hidden gem or the superstar?
Always a hidden gem, because I worked with superstars as an agent and nothing super there. It's simple. It's a simple thing. In most of the cases, show me the money or show me the lifestyle, you know? Mm-hmm, I mean, if you look at some of the big names, you know, we actually competing with some amazing, beautiful, famous cities, you know, in America, who are famous around the world. It's not easy. We only 3 years here, this year three. A lot of people don't know about Charlotte. I mean, for example, likes of Ashley Vessel going on Team Talk and Sky Sport and those kind of guys going there. It's just making us worldwide known.
Mm-hmm.
But it still takes some persuasion and convincing when you say Charlotte FC, because you know there are so many other clubs who've been here for 10-15 years, who've been famous, who had the famous players playing for them, so suddenly the people would know those kind of
is Charlotte FC, is that close to LA Galaxy? Like,
let's be real, we're, you know, we
can I take Uber?
I mean we're both Americans, we've lived here our entire lives, you know, we know the appeal that is New York, Chicago, Los Angeles to somebody who's spent their career in Europe. You know, the idea of Charlotte is you got to get them here, right? You got to get them on a plane, land them here in
the
town.
The interesting thing, once they come, they love it. Once they come, I just spoke to Jere Ronen this morning, and and Ashley Westwood, and they were like a bot, like a, wow, we love Charlotte. We wouldn't, they wouldn't go anywhere.
Nice.
If any of these big cities comes calling, they wouldn't go. I guarantee you.
Makes a ton of sense. And by the way, those are two players as well. Fantastic job. They're not designated player signings, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much of a focus on that in the league. Yeah. You've got to cook using your entire roster.
Dean calls Westwood very often DP, our DP. our DP that is not DP in a name. But right. these players are key. These players are key because, look, you can put the tag on some player and he might not perform and suddenly everyone is like, it's not easy. Being a DP, some players actually kind of holding that easily, carrying that easily, some players not. And we go back to Camille Szczęsny, who I think if he didn't have that tag, would be a better player for us and perform better. I think that was a problem.
It became a way for people to attack him.
In today's world when social media can be very unforgiving.
Oh, yes.
And hard for some young men that play. Some of them are taking it in a different ways. Some harder. Some can deal with that easier. Some can deal.
Guilty as charged. I probably said some jerky things myself.
Yeah.
Well, there was an example this week. Richarlison of Tottenham came out and had an interview with ESPN UK and was unbelievably emotional and honest about his experience after the World Cup and what social media can do to a player.
And then this is just a few people who are actually coming out, but I guarantee you there is way more.
One other thing I wanted to talk to you about, I know we just have a few minutes left, is, and Danny and I have spoken about this a lot, right? It's signing players, right? That's what fans are thinking about all the time. I think a massive job for a supporting director is moving players along as well, right? That's also part of this job.
It's a hard part.
Yeah, so Karol Tversky, let's talk about Karol and his move.
I think it's a little bit of introduction is necessary here. First of all, again, going back to these windows. So normally the window in Europe, always summer window or winter, everything happens last 10 days, last 2 weeks. So if you remember, we had a big offers for both Enzo and Karol last summer window. But it happens last 7 days of the window. Always is like that.
Right.
The problem is, you can't then replace it in time. You either don't have a time.
You're in the opposite situation that you described, basically.
Yes. So, Karol was very vocal about desire to go back to Europe. So that's one thing. The second thing is, we knew that the offer is not going to come in, ideally, the first day of the transfer window, so we can replace him. We have 30 days to kind of find him. Yeah. So we worked on the targets, potential targets, but we could not do anything until Karol leaves. Once Karol left and Camille, and that was important because of roster building as well and bringing another under 22 because we're still working on one more under 22 player that we will bring hopefully in the next couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks. We're trying. That's the plan. If not now, then in beginning of summer. So it's we wanted to open up extra under 22 initiative place. So once they left, in the last day of the window, last 2 days of the window, this was where we start doing this deal of 5 days, but everything happens last day. I mean, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning and I was on the phone with Spain and Granada and trying to do the paperwork because it's not like, oh, I'm sending like a postal package.
No.
No, you have to do the exit medical. You have to do the medical in Granada. You have to do the two sides to do the paperwork. We have to do all these things in one day.
We saw what happened with Duncan Maguire. It can fall apart.
Exactly.
If you don't get up
exactly.
in the morning. Yeah.
So we like Karol. Karol wanted to leave. We said, okay, Dean is coming. Let's bring the players that want to play for Dean and for this team. And Karol done a great job for us. I'm eternally grateful to him. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to congratulate him on going to the World Cup. Euros this year, they managed to qualify.
Oh, yeah.
But bottom line, it's Karol also wanted to play number 9, didn't really want to play on the wing as a number 10, and we already have a Copetti, and then, you know, Karol, and basically we said, okay, we could let Karol go and then look at for a replacement, and we always knew that it would be difficult, but at least we open the spot for DP, and we use that spot to kind of make our roster more compliant and better, easier compliant. And then we still have option to, we brought obviously replacement, one replacement DP, and then we still have option to bring another under 22 and a DP in the summer.
What's the move if Verona gets relegated?
he's in Europe, he's doing well, so there will be other clubs interested in him. See, he's in a shopping window.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's the plan. I mean,
yeah.
Verona will probably take him. They're relegated. We had other clubs in Italy who were interested in him before and now. So there will be club interested. It's just depending of negotiations and how. And
so most likely, we're not going to see him back here.
I'll be very surprised if he comes back here.
Good follow up, Danny. Well done. That's our time though. You got to get out to training.
Who's this under 22? No, we're planning to sign in a couple of weeks. Wait, I got all these more questions.
Yeah. We have one more under 22 place. I mean, Petkovic and Vargas are under 22. We have one more place. We potentially would then have more going forward because we can buy actually one of them down. So there are a lot of options. But we would like to bring one more under 22 player. And we have targets and we're trying to finalize something before.
Window is open before, for a couple of weeks. Correct. Yeah.
We try to finalize something before. And then we're planning to be relatively busy in the summer window with obviously DP and maybe potentially one more time or two players. So this team is well known for pushing hard last 10 games of the season. So we're hoping to kind of do well first 20 games of the season or so, and then push last 10 or so good games of the season. So that will be the plan.
Another opportunity on Saturday night to beat the MLS leading FC Cincinnati. Two wins in a row at home would be absolutely massive. It would be the 13th straight game, a run of unbeaten games at the Fortress in Uptown. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing what's been able to happen there.
Yeah, and I think we're planning to continue that. That's what we're planning, you know, to be honest. It's since Dean came, we had four games in a preseason unbeaten, and then we had a few games in the league unbeaten. So kind of the players are kind of used to it. They like, not only because of line that they're getting, the back five.
Right.
But, you know, I'm only sorry that I didn't put my name into that.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot to kind of somehow manage to get in, like, oh, how about the GM as well?
So I know Danny saw you last year at Hot Fly Brewing Company, our presenting sponsor at Brandt's Beds for Kids charity event. So you know where it is. So just know, any Sunday, 5 o'clock, you're always welcome to come hang out and have a couple pints with us at Hot Fly Brewing Company. So I hope to see you
absolutely
soon.
Absolutely,
And thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
There you have it. A fantastic interview with the always charismatic Charlotte FC sporting director, Zoran Crinetta. Hope you learned a little bit about your club listening to this episode, and I hope to see you on Saturday at Hot Fly Brewing Company. Remember, the tailgate starts at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have a pregame show at 5 o'clock as well, and then kickoff at 7:30 Eastern at the Fortress. Keep an eye out for Hot Fly's Fresh Drop Friday announcement. New beers this weekend that we will certainly be trying on the patio at Hopfly. Cheers to everybody for the first two home matches of the season, braving the elements, braving the wind, braving the cold as well. It's going to be a little different on Saturday. The forecast looks phenomenal. And you know what that means? Nothing but good vibes for the Queen City Derby. We'll talk to you soon.